The following podcast occurs in real time.
Welcome to the David Palmer Presidential Library Podcast, where we discuss 24 Legacy, Season 1, Episode 10. I'm Chris Lorenz. Sitting to my right is...
Harrison Hoffman.
Sitting across from me is...
Brian Houston.
Sitting to his left is...
Sudan Sauce.
Sitting to his left...
Robert Kitts.
All right, I think we're just going to ignore that. This episode was bad.
Bad. Nothing happened.
I'm pretty excited for our first ever podcast speed run.
So this will be what, 40 minutes instead of an hour?
You know, maybe there's something to unpack here. I got something. I was right a lot.
Max Stradamus.
Max, get some dollar bills, y'all.
Except, I was right a lot, except for the one thing I bet actual money on, which I did not win.
That is true.
Would we like to talk about my predictions, or would we like to talk about the story?
Let's start with your predictions.
Yeah, let's not deal with the story at all, any point in this goddamn podcast.
Prediction. Tony Almeida, not in the show as of this episode.
Oh, Tony's back.
Actually, the bet was that he would be out of the show following this episode, but he'll definitely be in the show following this episode. They set him up.
We saw him on
the episode. I'm pretty sure the bet was this episode, but it doesn't matter.
He'll be back. I really fucked up. So I owe Rob $1.
Sweet.
Pay up.
Oh, I thought you had the other side of that bet.
Nope.
No. Although, I think I bet Harrison $1 on something last week and do not remember what it was.
It was like a really obscure bet, I think.
I definitely didn't write it down.
I think that there's a tape for this, though. We can come back to it.
No, it's gone forever. I'm off the hook.
Next prediction. I said that Uncle Louise, Uncle Amygdala, Amidala, not Amygdala. Uncle
Organa.
Weird Star Wars reference.
Yes, that's not it. Organa and Amidala have a lot in connection. Like, think about that.
I'm thinking about it.
I meant to say Uncle Organa, and I was just wrong. So anyway,
isn't that part of the brain?
Yeah.
Yeah, the amygdala, yeah.
Prediction on him was that he was a mole. I was right, and I called that
two weeks ago.
Okay. Many, many weeks.
Here's my counter argument for that. We already knew that he was a bad guy because when the dad talked to him about bad guy stuff, right?
No, so I can answer this.
Okay.
He wants those 2 points.
So far,
get those points, Max.
So far, everyone's really lowered themselves, right? Moles also go down, like they lower themselves into the ground. So everyone's at the ground floor, but he just went deeper, right? So compared to them, from their point of view...
Man, this argument is...
That you're not holding
rock
on, man.
Solid. Airtight.
Built down like
to,
a rock.
You're down to 0.5. Tough. You're down to 0.5 points.
I think it's a good time for Max to tell us about our drink of the week.
Drink of the week is not Jack.
That's right.
Yep.
How's that not Jack treating you, Max?
It's... Man, this is a very large serving.
At what point does it become not Jack? Because, I mean, we got to walk away from this at some point.
Do you know when we're going to walk away from 24 Legacy?
After this season's over?
2 episodes from now.
Only 2 episodes left, guys.
All right.
So, we're so close.
So in comparison of Jack Bauer and Eric Carter.
Oh, wait.
How does this whiskey compare to Jack?
That's a tough question.
I'm asking Max here.
I mean, Jack's kick ass, and this does kick my ass. So this... more closely represents Jack than it does Eric, who literally walks into a room with a bullshit character whose only purpose was to get blown up last episode, and then she didn't. That's all he did this fucking episode.
With terrible makeup on.
Oh, like, and he shot Jadala bin Khalid, I guess.
Right in the head.
Right in the head. Not badass at all. Just kind of shit.
And he conveniently couldn't see that he was holding that flare because the van was blocking his point of view.
Maybe he did know he was holding the flare. And he's just like, done with Rebecca.
It's like, man, I got to clean this situation up here. My wife's mad at me because I've been talking to this person. Maybe I should let them burn up on this field.
She's probably going to bang Isaac after this. I got to try to come up some way to keep her.
That's right.
It's amazing Isaac hasn't banged her yet, given how little love she's getting from Eric.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Or do you think they're setting it up for next season?
Or they're probably setting up for next season.
There's no next season, though.
We don't know that.
They're planning it for next season. They're going to put it like as a maybe like last episode slash a teaser or something, and that turns this guy into Jack Bauer. And
is there a softcore scene as one of the Blu-ray extras? But it's just her, and it's called Solitary 2.
No. No, it's now man. Hardcore.
Oh, I said softcore, so you haven't answered my question.
No, I'm saying it's not going to be softcore 2. I'm saying it's going to be hardcore.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Hey, I mean.
All right. So thanks to the great segue, we watched Solitary, which was a bonus feature on 24, Live Another Day, where Tony had his resurgence.
Was 24 Live Another Day based on the original story 24 on Fox?
I don't think it was.
Huh.
Just was
unlike
the story.
24 Legacy based on the series 24.
You know, when I saw you bring that Blu-ray over and I was like looking at the cover of it, made me really nostalgic for like a good 24 with Kiefer on it and stuff.
Oh yeah, you fire up the Blu-ray and just like the menu screen, it's just shots of Kiefer doing stuff and you're like, oh, why are we not watching this?
So nostalgic. I'd even take the female sidekick in this season. She was Kate? Good. Yeah, Kate.
Oh, Kate was great.
We did nothing but hate on Kate because we thought they were going to make a season of 24 without Jack.
Which they did.
They should have kept her. They should have kept her.
All right. I want to go to the tapes on that because I was all aboard Team Kate.
Oh, maybe you were. That's true.
So in this solitary clip, they have Tony Almeida in solitary in jail. Partitions the government.
Partitions?
Yeah, partitions. Partitions, that's whatever.
No, neither of the...
Petitions.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He's trying to get moved out of solitary.
Somebody else can
tell. Oh, sorry.
Chris, you got this.
Oh, no, I'm done. I'm done. If you're going to make fun of me like that, I'm done. That's how it works.
Chris, okay. We love you.
I said what I meant, and I meant what I said.
So the elephant's faithful.
One episode,
100%.
Episode. What was that? Damn it! I remember that quote now. An episode every week or something like that.
One each new one each week.
There we go.
A new one.
Close than I could have ever gotten.
Oh
close.
Man,
this podcast is off the rails.
Just like this week's episode of 24 Legacy.
Boom!
This already exploded into a building. We just gotta walk away.
So man. The government. Answers his petition.
Thank
sorry,
you.
With no, and he steals some glasses off of the prosecutor, and then he goes back to his jail cell, and there's like an escape route on these glasses.
How are we 20 minutes into this podcast already?
Because we're not.
I know. I just wanted to fuck with them for a second.
Oh my god.
We're only. Don't worry, listeners. We're only 8 minutes, 55 seconds in.
And we presume he escapes. But in this season of 24, it seems like the government's all hokey-dory with him being out and like not looking for him at all.
Well, it's because the government are the ones who broke him out of jail before.
But the government is also the one that said he couldn't get out of jail. Not even not out of jail. Not out of solitary confinement.
Yo, that whole thing is like a setup... to get him out of jail. Like,
who's getting him out of jail?
That chick.
So,
real reason for the chick to be like part of the government.
So there's the concept we're working from here is there's the normal government, which is like 99% of the people who work in the government. And then there's the super secret ops part of the government.
Shadow government. I don't know if that's the right term.
I think shadow government is a slightly different thing.
Maybe that's a different thing. You know,
the people in the deep part of the CIA who are working on the super black stuff.
Okay.
And So the idea is they petition a judge who's a normal judge to get Tony from solitary to regular population. But the woman lawyer is actually part of the, you know, black side part of the government, and she wants Tony out.
But is there anything in solitary that makes you make, like, is clear that she's part of the government?
Yeah. Because
she's the prosecutor.
She's the one that represents.
Says this is so and so from this agency. And then she clearly has connections to get fancy glasses with maps in them. That's all you need to know.
I mean, she was definitely in on it. Like, otherwise, she would.
She's clearly in on it.
She was also
a lot of people were actually in on it. Otherwise, guards would have came so much quicker than they actually did.
What?
No. Oh.
No, I think the guards are
the guards were definitely not in on it. They definitely staged this fight to make it look real. I don't think the guards were in on it.
Dude, that totally tasered him for real.
For somebody who's in solitary, are you kidding me? Like, they're jumping on that instance in like a
second.
I'm
just saying that if the guards are in on it, why do they even have to go through this whole just to trick the judge?
In the 24 universe, the guards aren't that good.
Jack Bauer is good. No one else is good.
Including Eric Carter.
Yeah, I mean, like, he kind of makes a move and potentially punches one of them in the face or something, or like elbows him in the face. Maybe they're kind of like incapacitated for a second.
Yeah. But even then, they just took like so long to respond. Like, they're just standing outside the door. Like, why?
Don't worry about it.
Man, I just
I still want to know how Tony gets to where he is today.
So the way to look at it, and I'm sure this does not hold up to deeper scrutiny, but like what you got to do is
Rebecca had a
role in setting up the thing where he gets out, and then she wants him as like someone she can work with, but who's off the books, who's not officially part of the CIA, to do like the really dirty
stuff. Maybe
they
should have set that up a little bit.
Should we
raise the connection we found between today's episode and solitary?
I was waiting until the end of the solitary part to bring that up, but maybe this is the time.
Maybe this is the proof that Rebecca was involved.
What do you got for us, Max?
Somebody was named Diaz in one, and somebody was named Diaz in the other.
Yes, so the woman prosecutor's last name was Diaz, the same last name as Uncle Organa.
Bum, bum, bum.
Wait, maybe that's Smitty's mama.
Oh, man.
So...
She looked a little too young to be Smitty's mama, but Tony also looked like 25 years younger than he does in 24 Legacy.
Dude,
so maybe it works.
Dude, it's a time jump.
It's got to be.
It's a deep time jump.
So I'm totally with you on the, like, you know, whatever, like, super secret CIA people break Tony out of jail to use him as an off-the-books asset. But, like, if there's this relationship to this Uncle Organa fellow, he's a bad guy. Like,
I think it's a total coincidence. There's no relationship.
Right.
But
it can't be a relationship, right?
Let's try to figure out what the relationship is.
I mean,
doesn't matter.
I have no idea. I have no idea. I mean, like, happen. Rebecca obviously knows this other Diaz guy because he's involved with the family stuff in some way. It's not like he's the guy's campaign manager, right? Is that the guy? No.
It's not really
no.
clear
right?
what Diaz's
That's his,
role is.
His gay lover that, like, is his business person, you know?
It's the dad's, like, business associate, right?
And gay lover.
He is Papa Organa's wife's brother.
Brother-in-law.
Oh, he really is an uncle?
100%.
Papa Organa said, we're talking about the son of your sister here.
Oh my God. I forgot about that.
Definitely.
Literally Uncle Organa.
It's not like just some Tio. This is the Tio.
The Tio.
So maybe this is
Tio Organa?
Mama Organa before she got married.
That's right.
Yeah, that's, you know, maybe.
Good God.
You know, I'm betting there is
She's
some
looking
connection
good.
Because the writers just want to be part of...
Is this
of
another Woody Allen situation?
No.
Yeah, this is definitely
Woody
Allen.
No, it doesn't math.
Brian, what were you saying?
No, I was going to say, I'm betting there's some link because I'm betting the writers continued from Live Another Day.
Whoa. You think that there's writers on this show?
What's a writer?
Yes, I think there's two bored-ass writers... and they just came up with this little thing to like entertain the 24 diehards.
I think there's one writer, and he just
still and he's a fine. Monkey on a tiger. One writer entertained himself and entertained the people that are dedicated to the 24.
He doesn't
series.
Have time to think about 24 of another day.
Yeah, he does.
Nah.
That's all he was thinking about. He was clearly wasn't writing the show.
So,
maybe. Oh,
so 24 historian Rob.
Yes.
I think you've explained this before on this podcast this season, but I need another refresher.
Whoa.
If we're setting solitary aside, like, what's the last circumstance that we saw Tony in? And, like, where do we leave Tony? Because I'm trying to figure out if they just threw the solitary stuff out or if they just can, like, or what happened there.
Yeah. So the last thing we saw Tony was. Tony was a season where he seemed like he was bad, but then he was like, no, I'm like a reverse mole for the good guys, but then he was bad again. It was kind of unclear. And it ended with Tony getting carted off to prison for all his bad things he did working with terrorists, screaming at Jack that, no, this is really for the greater good. We're doing the right thing. Don't let them take me to prison, Jack.
Okay.
And he goes to prison.
So as far as anyone who's a 24 watcher who has not happened to see this obscure short feature on the Blu-ray thinks.
Yes.
They just think that Tony's in jail, and there has been no explanation given as to why he's not currently in jail.
Correct.
Okay.
They sort of mentioned him breaking out or something.
Did they?
Yeah. When they originally brought him back.
I don't remember that.
I remember
us talking about how he broke out because we were talking about Solitary. I don't remember the show talking about
it. I feel like there was scenes of Solitary on the commercial in the Super Bowl.
Are we going back to that again? Didn't Rob watch the Super Bowl commercial?
I rewatched a Super Bowl commercial. Maybe there was another one. It definitely was scenes of Tony at the stupid black site and not from 24. Solitary.
That's right.
Because
we talked about that.
Yeah. He looked, and now that I've rewatched Solitary, he looks so much younger. They make him look so old in Live Another Day, or they made him look really young in Solitary. I feel like both.
I feel
he
like they made him look
like
young.
Old, weird Tony in the Super Bowl trailer.
How long ago was Live Another Day? It was like a couple years ago, right?
It was summer 2014.
Man, how is Carlos Bernard aged that much in 3 years?
We don't know if it's 3 years in 24 verse, though.
Sure, I guess.
Well, he was helping Rebecca, wasn't he? In Kosovo or whatever the hell he was.
It's really unclear how he started helping Rebecca in any situation.
Hold up. I'm pretty sure these events are supposed to happen in real time, so...
All right. I got a conspiracy theory here.
Hit us.
I think I can explain Diaz.
Which one?
Both.
Okay.
All right.
The Diazes.
All right. What's the name of the show?
24 Legacy.
How many hours? If you were to say 24 and say this 24 hours, what's another time measurement for that?
Oh, God. A day?
Yeah. How do you say day in Spanish?
Diaz?
Dia?
Dia. How do you say days in Spanish?
Diaz?
Diaz, just saying, just throwing that out there.
It can't be a coincidence. It
can't be a coincidence.
Okay.
I hate you so much, Max.
What happened in this episode? Did anything happen?
We're talking about the episode?
Yeah, what's an episode?
This is the episode.
Solitary? We're just discussing Solitary now?
Again.
I mean, Tony's back, and Aisha, too, is none too happy.
So... We got to frame up why Tony's back, I guess.
Yeah, we need to talk about the Rebecca plot line.
Okay, should we knock that out? Really? We should knock the story really quick here, right?
Give it really quick. Harrison,
okay. Have you ever seen the movie We're Back, where the dinosaurs?
What?
The animated dinosaurs become real dinosaurs.
Right.
Yeah.
And they show up in Central Park, and they're back, just like Tony.
Oh, man, Tony's back.
We got to take the not Jack away from Max. He seems to be doing worse than usual this week.
Oh, man.
I think he's holding this. He's the glue that's holding this podcast together, damn it.
So as viewers of this show may know, at the end of last episode...
we're going back to last episode.
Papa Organa was kidnapped.
Papa Organa, what?
No, sorry. Too much family talk. Senator Organa was kidnapped and by the terrorists. We find out, basically, that Ben Khalid's dad is alive. Surprise, so dumb.
So dumb.
Somebody called that, I think.
Well, we talked last week about how this is exactly what happened in season one of 24 Original Recipe.
Right. So, surprise, surprise, the dad's back. And
he's not looking too good.
He's not looking great. He's looking kind of like Two-Face. The Two-Face situation going on for sure.
Way better makeup than Eric.
He's so committed to Two-Face, they even put his beard only on half his face.
The half beard is pretty nuts. We never really got like a good look at his face, like straight on.
We got a pretty good look.
They were kind of shooting around a little bit, I felt like.
It was pretty dark.
I guess if they showed a good enough look, we'd have seen the bad makeup.
But. Yeah. And it was kind of like, you know, it was like, you know, partially like in shadows and
so
stuff.
So he's supposed to only have one arm now, right?
Oh, did he lose? Like, I didn't notice the status of his limbs, really.
I feel like we saw his left arm a lot and it looks real burned. But I feel like his right arm was just not there.
Was it his arm bleeding or something?
I don't think it was bleeding. I think it just had a lot of like third degree burn scars on it. So the idea is supposed to be like he was in some kind of explosion that burned him incredibly bad, but he somehow survived.
But somehow he made it into America.
Because Eric is terrible at everything. You had one job, Eric, kill this Sheikh bin Khalid.
For those of you keeping score at home, this is the guy that Eric was supposed to have killed. And this is the reason why Eric is a hero, is basically for killing this guy. And this is the operation that Rebecca ran. That Eric
So do you think
executed.
Eric and Rebecca have been lying this whole time? And they
I don't think they've been lying. I just think that Eric's bad at his job.
I feel
Is
like
Rebecca also bad at her job?
Yes. Possibly.
That would be a cool twist, but he seems like haunted by the whole bin Khalid situation.
I feel like if you don't shoot that guy in the head, you can't say he's dead. Like you gotta
Yeah, you gotta double tap.
You gotta
I think they double tapped him.
Clearly not.
No, they didn't. They clearly exploded him.
Tap him.
Yeah,
blew. They attempted to blow him up, but he didn't die.
Maybe he's like a really shitty Wolverine, where like the insides of him are armored, but the outside gets fucked up.
Let's be clear: if he was Wolverine, that beard is growing full force.
That's true. Can't stop that beard.
Excellent point.
So
just like X-23,
this whole thing's happening, and now the terrorists are like, "Hey." They're rounding up all our sleeper cells because this whole other thing happened. But now what we got to do is find the person that had been killing us and our whole crew and that tried to kill the dad and bring her in and execute her on some kind of video, basically.
So it's interesting. They only want Senator Organa to trade him for his wife, who's the one Sheikh bin Khalid is real mad at.
Which, when we heard that they had captured him, this like, oh, they just captured a U.S. senator and current presidential candidate. This is gonna be a shit show, and they released him almost immediately. Like it wasn't
ASAP.
Even a fight.
Well, we gotta talk about how they released.
Yeah,
him,
no,
we'll,
for
we'll
sure, for sure, for sure. So.
Yeah. So yeah, they want Rebecca.
So they call Rebecca and they're like, "Hey, if you show up here, we'll let your husband go, but we're gonna kill you, because that's how we roll." And who does Rebecca turn to but...
Incompetent Eric.
Incompetent field agent Eric Carter. There are plenty of competent field agents around at CTU, I might add.
So many good field... We didn't even see Andy ex-boyfriend this episode. He'd probably be a great guy to bring into this situation.
Well, Andy ex-boyfriend probably would have given her up.
So
he's
the,
not an idiot?
Yeah
right.
Exactly.
The thing that you have to remember about these terrorists at this point is... They have no more weapons or attacks available to them, really. There's about four of them left. There's basically none of them left. And
there's
all,
a couple of them
And
left.
Really all that they have going is that they have the senator.
Well, they have the actual like head guy left.
Sure. There are like four of these dudes left, though, like in general. And like, why don't you just bring in a real-ass CTU operation and just take these guys down? Like, I just don't... Like,
they don't,
I don't,
they don't know
the
what the situation is, and also... Can't believe this guy's in America and not like, you know, in a hole somewhere.
Exactly. Like
why the fuck is that guy in America?
Dude, all these shows, 24, Homelands, SpongeBob, they always bring the bad guy to the home territory.
You know, they got the internet now.
To be fair, it is called Homeland. So having the bad guy on the homeland.
Right, no, he should be in his lands that's home. It's called Homelands.
I think that like the terrorists kind of need like some local inspiration. Like if like the leader dude's not there, then everyone just flakes out and doesn't do their job. I feel like
His son's there. His second in command.
That guy,
there,
I guess, yeah,
was there.
So no, I mean, like spoilers. The head terrorist guy, like in a situation, I feel like has to be there.
How dumb was it that they're like, so apparently Nasiri has been with Jadala under a fake name because the dad just wanted to monitor Jadala and see if he was really truly committed to the cause to know if he'd earned his place.
Well, he wasn't committed to the cause when his dad died.
But like
first time,
if the dad is committed to doing terrorism, not that I condone this, wouldn't having your sort of second in command, excellent agent actually helping him be better than being like a secret watcher to see what's actually going
you
on?
You think that, you know, Two-Face is gonna be able to do anything?
I think that there's...
He's just sitting around, like, healing his burn wounds.
I think that there's kind of more to the history of their relationship than has really been explained in the show. Like, to me, it really feels like, you know...
You can't read in
the
show.
Like, to me, it feels like the U.S. government killing his dad. Like, him and his dad, like their views weren't, like, aligned before, basically. You know, he was off at Oxford, whatever, studying. Right. And, like, his dad was doing this terrorist stuff. And then when his dad got killed... It basically inspired him to do all this stuff. So, like, I feel like maybe the dad feels like until he sees him get down the road more, like, he can't really step back in because, like, his death is the catalyst for his son even wanting to be a part of this thing at all.
I guess that's true.
Right? Like, so if he just rolls back up, like, guess what? I'm not dead. He'll just be, like, super unmotivated, I feel like.
He'll be like, okay, great. I'm going back to Oxford.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Peace out, Dad.
Pretty much.
So to kind of backtrack a little bit, what makes you think that Eric is incompetent? Because... Granted, he's not as badass as, obviously, Jack, but right now, like, he's performed stuff fairly well. A CTU operative would be better, but he hasn't really performed terribly.
What stuff has he performed well, would you say?
Well, for example, like, he invaded that girl's house, and...
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Woo!
And dealt with the bomb situation fairly well.
Yep.
The only thing that could have gone better was... recognizing that the girlfriend was, or the fake girlfriend was, a traitor. Yep.
He could have taken a photo of the girl sure. So that they could have ID'd it as that security guard's wife, or no, girlfriend.
He could have kneecapped the actual terrorist instead of killing her like Isaac could clearly do.
Killing the last lead.
That was like, so bad. Fuck.
I don't know. I mean, but, like, it feels like every situation Eric is involved in is botched in some way. Like, I mean, and maybe that's just how they have to set him up in the show, but, like...
But I don't think, like, Jack was... I mean, Jack always had his problems as well. Like, something went wrong. Like, it might have been out of control. Sometimes he went a little rogue. Whatever. But...
Yeah.
It's not... I don't think Eric's doing that bad.
I just don't think that Eric has, like... the base of successful missions to, like, warrant his behavior.
I mean, he's not a CTU agent.
He hasn't really done anything right.
He's not been trained with CTU agents. He's like...
Okay, but then, like, compared to, like, Jack Bauer. Like, Jack
did
Bauer
is the head of CTU.
Right, but at the same time, he didn't really do everything right. He always went off the books and, like... He took matters into his own hands in order to ensure that things got completed, which you could argue that, like, is
there
a measure of success.
There are terrorists, Brian. You got to do it.
Sure. But then again,
when you're Rebecca, you got to be taking other people into this. You can't just be like, we'll take this off the books because, you know, they really want me. So I'm going to go give up.
But at the same time, like, you take it off the books and, like, you're setting up a new type of Jack Bauer, like somebody who... could join up with CTU.
You already have Tony Almeida. What do you need this Joker Eric for?
I don't think that enough. Tony Almeida is the field agent that he used to be, although we did see him picking up some kind of gun in the future.
I would put a lot of money over Tony Almeida over Eric.
No, sure.
Like, there's not even, it's not even close.
I just don't know that Tony wants to get out there and be mixing up in the field every
actually,
day.
Actually, the next time on is Tony versus Eric.
No, so. It is. We're going to see.
We'll see what happens.
God. Yeah, it's
hopefully
just...
Eric dies. And then the next episode is
he's
just like
mourning.
Definitely
not dying in the next episode. Maybe in the last episode.
No, he dies and then the next episode is just mourning.
He's not going to die. He's 100% not going
to
die.
Then Isaac can be the main character.
We all want Isaac to be the main character, but at the same time, they're setting Eric up so well that...
Whoa,
they're setting Eric up so well.
So well.
I mean,
they're setting him up a lot.
Well, they're setting him to be like the next Jack Bauer. They're setting him to like go rogue.
That's
and then,
what they're attempting to do.
Yeah. I mean, all this season, like, it's just been, hey, this guy's off the books. He's not a CTU agent. Fine. Just let him do whatever.
I feel like we're the only people who are like, he's not a CTU agent, because everyone in the show seems to treat him like a CTU agent.
Right.
It's crazy because, like, everyone in the show but Rebecca has never met him before either. It's not like they see him around all the time. Like,
I mean, well, they've seen his pictures.
CTU. I think Nicole and Isaac have met him before.
Everyone at CTU has never even seen this guy, though.
I mean, that's true because, like, the heroes were never released from killing.
Right.
Whatever his
the
name
dad.
Was.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's just like real SEAL Team 6. Unless you're an attention whore, nobody knows who you are.
So, yeah, I mean, if
I am talking about American Sniper.
Thank you, Max.
Just to be clear.
So, do we got to bust through the whole Isaac Nicole part of this real quick, or do
I
we
guess.
Just ignore it?
Yeah, just take us through it.
Yep.
So, somehow Nicole convinces Isaac to come to CTU, and he's not like, I'm a wanted drug dealer. I can't go in the middle of CTU.
CTU is not dealing with that shit. Let's be clear. They have a bigger matters to worry about than a single drug dealer.
Yeah, but they will call the cops. I mean, they don't have to deal with it.
I can't imagine that Isaac's too thrilled about being around law enforcement in general.
He was mixing it up with those security guards, though.
He almost got into a fight with those security guards.
But I like that you could see his, like, super gold watch as he's, like, pushing on the security guard.
Yeah.
So if he was wanted, why wouldn't the cops just pick him up? It's not like where he, like, stays is not...
I guess Chris needs to watch The Wire.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, but you got to prove that he's, like,
the whole reason that they had to have The Wire.
You have to prove that he's a drug... You have to prove... Anything he doesn't have anything on him while he's at CTU? Like what are they gonna prove by picking up at CTU versus his house?
I don't know, man. I just don't think that he wants to be on anyone's radar at all. Just trying to run his drug business and not like be involved with government
stuff.
No,
what he wants is Nicole.
Oh yeah.
So just quickly bust through it. So Nicole confronts Eric about how he's been talking to Rebecca about wanting to be an agent.
Horrible timing.
And Nicole's like, I don't wanna interrupt you, but let's have this conversation right now. And then Rebecca walks in and is like, I actually got some CTU terrorist business to do. And Eric just leaves.
Eric leaves without saying anything to her.
Doesn't
again.
Say anything to Nicole.
How many times
this season has Eric said, I got one last thing to do and then I'm done with CTU?
He so clearly doesn't want to be with her. Like, every time one of these things comes up, he never, like, says that he's even leaving or that, like, it's just
bad.
Crazy.
Nicole should definitely leave him at this point.
Yeah.
And Isaac made his move this episode.
He did. It was the right time to make that move,
I'm
too.
Just not
I
sure.
saw the opening, and he went for it, and I think he's going to get success.
I disagree
with the concept that she should divorce him over literally one really shitty day.
It's not one day, because he's been lying to her for some time.
I'm going to sneeze.
So... I feel like it would be tough for you to leave, you know, your ex-Army Ranger, like this nice, comfortable suburb neighborhood to like kind of move to the ghetto and like be with a drug dealer. Like that would just be such like a change of lifestyle. It'd be crazy.
It's definitely a lifestyle change, but Isaac said that he was looking to make a lifestyle change too.
What is Isaac going to be able to do?
I feel like Isaac's got some
skills.
Drugs.
Obviously, he's got some. Change of lifestyle. Let's go to Chicago or, you know.
I don't know. I don't think he just means sell drugs in a different city.
Is she like a nurse or something? Doesn't she have like a respectable job?
She is a nurse, yes.
I have no idea.
So, like, they move to Chicago. She joins the cast of Chicago MD or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And Isaac just becomes a stay at home dad.
Slash drug dealer.
Wait, do they have a son?
No.
When they have a child anyway?
No.
They will when they start banging one hour after this season.
Like, non-stop.
Yeah. Imminently.
You mean in the next episode?
I actually think that they're not going to actually have any real Nicole Isaac fireworks. It's just going to, the season's going to end with Nicole going away with Isaac. And then Eric's like, I guess I'm going to join CTU now.
Can I get
freeze frame?
Can I get the other
100%?
Can I get the other side of that bet?
Oh, you're thinking Nicole Isaac really happening?
No, no, no. I think that Nicole and Eric get back. They stay together.
I want to throw in on this. I got an alternative.
Ooh, here we go.
Okay.
All right. Season ends. She and Eric are in their house. It's all been all cleaned up. She watches Isaac drive away wistfully.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
She, I mean, maybe it'll be explored in future seasons, but you know, they'll leave it as a cliffhanger.
I have a quick question, Mr. Historian. When did Jack Bauer's wife die? Was it season one or two?
It was the very last thing that happened in season one.
Who thinks that it's going to happen this season? Because I kind of think it's going to.
I do not think that Nicole's going to die. That'd be pretty crazy. I don't know.
I hadn't, you know what? I don't know why I hadn't thought of that. And now that you said it, it totally makes sense.
I mean, if they're remaking season one.
They really are.
Yeah.
I feel.
And then Eric's like, unlike Jack, who was heartbroken and left CTU, Eric would be like, well, I guess I'll just join CTU now.
Yeah. Wait. It's the catalyst in
if
a different way.
If they're remaking season one, who's Nina?
The second mole.
Nina?
Which I guess is the cop guy from the last episode.
The security guy?
Yeah. Oh,
I feel like the stinger of this season will be Nicole getting a call from some sort of terrorist agent.
German.
Yeah. And it's going to be set up her as a mole for the next season.
That's so nuts. Who's the Kim Bauer this season? Oh, I guess it was the dumb kid from Insanity High School.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh my
I'm
God.
Actually surprised they killed him so quickly.
Well, they killed him, and then he wasn't dead. They killed him again.
Died twice.
R.I.P. Insanity High.
Dragging his body out into that soccer field or whatever. That was insane. Why did they think that was a good idea?
No, he got up. Anyway.
Something's wrong with him. I don't know.
We start talking about Insanity High School. We're never going to talk about this.
We sound so nostalgic.
We are so nostalgic.
It was the best.
Oh, gosh.
Miss you guys.
R.I.P.
You should reach out to us on Twitter at the GPPL.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, early plug.
Yeah.
So, okay, so that's the Isaac. Isaac
Nicole done.
Isaac almost gets into an altercation with some security. Yeah,
Nicole's demanding answers where Eric is. And yeah. Isaac almost takes on like six security guards by himself and then is like, we cool. And
as soon as he starts pushing him, I'm like, he's going to be arrested. That's the end of this. And then somehow he's able to like, Fonzie style, like cool the situation down.
But then, you know, a security guard follows him up and then the room they go into just stays outside the door. And just be like, yeah, you guys aren't leaving this room anymore.
Oh yeah, for sure. You can't be making
maybe he's going to go to the server room and shut all the computers off. Just because.
Here's something I don't understand about CTU. Maybe you can explain it to me. I feel like every time like they bring someone into CTU, like regardless of who it is, When they're bringing him in, they're bringing him like through like that big open floor area where all the operation stuff is happening.
It's so ridiculous.
Like all the time, it keeps happening.
Is that in every season of 24?
Every CTU I've seen, like the setup is the main entrance leads into this giant room, and then if you want to go somewhere specific, you have to go to a side room.
And like
yeah, that's definitely
it was
not
also
how
interesting
that works.
In season one. Or maybe other seasons after that, like the director of CTU's office is a giant glass box that hangs over everybody. And so everyone can just totally see the director doing whatever he's doing all the time.
Yeah, that was interesting.
That's weird.
But here's the thing, like if you're getting brought into CTU, you need to have some kind of automatic clearance. If you're
they're
being brought to the floor,
they're bringing in literal terrorists this way.
Literal
terrorists are coming through the same route.
The terrorist's not reading the screen. Let's be clear.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
No way they're just
they
like...
They don't know English, obviously.
No.
Well, it definitely knows English.
Studied at Oxford.
Yeah.
I'm joking.
But they're just like rolling through. Like they just can't like immediately interpret everything. It's just like...
They can't, but like... So unnecessary. It's so unnecessary.
That's definitely not how it works.
Like
definitely not.
Ops rooms
definitely
are
not.
Like,
but like
way deep. You need
there some. Should be like a giant button somebody can hit when there's somebody who doesn't have security clearance comes through that just shuts all the screens off.
Yeah,
just turn it back on.
That would be kind
of
cool.
To
turn them off for.
To be fair, is there anything ever useful on those screens? It's just like a picture of the terrorist and a random map.
Seems like an unnecessary security risk because they're hearing conversations and all like so much stuff is happening. I don't know. it's bothered me a little bit.
I think the idea is once you're going through that room, you're never getting out. Realistically, they keep getting out.
Also true.
Historically.
Keep getting out.
So what else happened in this plot? I don't really know what happened.
That's it.
Well,
not in the plot line.
Somebody
show,
catches on fire.
Oh, yeah. So now we got the main part of the thing.
Yeah. Do you want to go?
I guess. So basically, Rebecca convinces Eric to go with her on this mission where she's going to use herself as bait to draw out the son terrorist and the dad terrorist that they now know exists.
I don't think they knew about the dad at the time.
No, they did, because that's part of how she convinced Eric to go.
No,
she's,
they definitely
right?
didn't know about the dad.
They did not know. That was the big reveal at the end.
Are you sure?
100%.
The only guy who knows is Senator Organa.
Are you sure about that? Because didn't...
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I 100%.
Rewatch the episode.
Oh, man.
So
okay.
We're jumping into the very end of the episode.
Sure.
Should we do that
how
now
would
or
they
later?
Have known?
Let's do it later.
How would they have known?
I don't know.
When we
maybe
get to
not.
The end of the episode, we'll clarify how it's definitely the case they don't know about the dad.
Okay.
They just know
okay.
about Jadala and Nasir and yep. the two other terrorists and
oh,
Jimmy
okay.
Smith.
That's where I was getting confused because when she was saying like we're going to go get the two of them, they're talking about Jadala and Nasir.
That's
not,
right.
Not the dad. Okay. That makes more sense. Okay.
Okay.
So they're like, okay, so show up alone to this place, we'll release Jimmy Smits, and we're gonna kill you, basically. And she's like, all right. So then her and Eric are rolling over in the SUV having some meaningful conversations, and
they're back in actually the red truck.
Yeah, at some point they get pulled over by some cops, and basically Eric's driving. In order to deal with these cops, he rolls out of this truck while it's moving. The cops don't see it. Rebecca parks the car, and he ambushes the cops and handcuffs them. So yep. That was okay. They arrive at the location, and Rebecca's on the phone with
Rebecca
the terrorist.
Rebecca takes the truck, and then Eric is just
right.
running,
yeah.
Legs, arms pumping, making a real intense running face.
Yeah, after the cop altercation, he's like, we're pretty close. I'll just run there, and I'll meet you there. So she goes
because Jadala calls her. She's like, "You'd better be alone."
Even though it seems like there was very little scrutiny around her being alone,
no.
This
scrutiny
could have been
at
a full-scale C2 operation. These guys would not have noticed.
It definitely would have gone so much better if they'd pulled CTU in for real.
As I mentioned before, there's only like four of these terrorist guys left. There's like none of them left. So they'd barely have an operation at this point.
So this is the point where we originally start talking about this because, like, how do we explain how Tony shows up?
Sure, that's yeah.
So CTU somehow figures out Rebecca and Eric are both missing. Rebecca must have planning to give herself up to free Senator Organa. And so Keith just calls Tony. It's like, hey, Tony, I know you've been talking to Rebecca. Can you trace her for me?
Why would she do this? She's the head of CTU. Why would she ever give away to trace herself?
It makes
no
sense.
No, that's a... That's 100% reasonable.
To give it to Tony?
So the tracer was in her phone, is that right?
Yeah.
So this is why apparently
is
a tracer from like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
She definitely has a new phone in 2 years.
Yeah. Why would you carry that around?
And why would CTU not have this ability?
It was in her skin or something.
Wait, what?
No, like, no. So when they were originally talking about that, I originally thought, like you thought, Max, that they embedded in their skin, fine. But it was just in their phone. Why would you... There's no way they kept it around.
Or just why is CTU not have the ability to track her phone?
Because they're idiots.
So when Keith originally calls, Tony's like, I don't want to talk to you. I got better things to do. Aisha, too, is trying to get fresh with him. But then as soon as he hears Rebecca's in trouble, he's like, oh, I got to help. And Aisha, too, is not happy about this.
Because they basically have to put off some other kind of business deal that they're doing to go and help Rebecca.
That's not why she's really upset.
Also, yes.
Is that going to play in the next two episodes? Because we talked about how we felt Aisha 2 was wasted. Are they going to activate Aisha 2?
I predict it will not come into play at all. It just doesn't feel important enough to deal with in the last 2 hours of the show. Like,
this show does not know what's important, what's not important.
Yes, that's true.
Is there 2 weeks left, or is there 1 week where we have two episodes?
2 weeks left.
Oh, good.
Here's a question. How many hours left?
2 hours left.
Oh.
or 12.
We should have 14 hours left.
14 right? hours 14. left.
Sorry, Max.
14 hours.
There's always 12 hours left. It just keeps going.
So
thank you, Not Jack.
At some point, the director of CTU,
Keith,
is like, you know what? Like, Rebecca and this random dude,
who's like
Eric Carter,
number one CTU agent, yeah. even though he doesn't work for CTU.
Eric Carter, have been doing pretty well lately. Maybe we should just let them do this.
Oh, yeah.
And just kind of track them, and then we can try to get the terrorists.
So he calls, like, the Director of National Security or something,
Director
right?
of National Intelligence, and he's like, all right, what do you think, man? And he's like, you're an idiot. Absolutely not. Go get her back right now.
The best part is that when Keith is explaining that she's with Eric Carter, the director's like, you mean that crazy guy who's like been assaulting CTU agents all day?
Yeah.
It's like, yes. Finally, someone acknowledges it.
Finally, someone acknowledges it.
I'm definitely on team Director of Intelligence.
Yep. But
he
we
needs
do
to shut Keith and this whole CTU down.
But what we do find out later is that the Director of National Intelligence might be a bad guy.
That's in the next time.
What?
No. There was like something where the new Chloe guy was looking at that in this episode where the dude's like, hey man,
oh, that's right.
I can't
yeah.
get into this one file because I don't have the right clearance. And he's like, ooh, the like the Director of National Intelligence? Like
yeah. Andy yeah. Andy's back this episode.
Andy he's Shalowitz.
He's apparently an interrogator and he's still hacking into things.
I think
it was
just,
he activated Tony's random secret Rebecca tracker.
Yeah.
He just questioned her. I don't know if I'd really call that an interrogation.
I don't know.
Yeah, who something. Knows?
I got well, another conspiracy
stuff he's
theory.
He's probably never done before.
Just a second, Mac. Andy also confirmed they're rounding up all the other terrorist cells. So all the other insanity high schools out there are donezo.
They really tied that one up nicely in 2 seconds of dialogue instead yeah. of like a whole montage of them
Not
rounding up terrorist cells.
We need an hour to set this up.
They should have had a montage set some kind of music.
Yeah.
That would have been real.
That would have been great. Too expensive.
What's your conspiracy theory, Max?
All right. Shalowitz.
Yeah.
Shalowy. Chloe. Shlowy.
Wow.
God damn it.
Really, really stretching here.
And into dudes.
Okay.
So how did you
know
that?
Andy Shalowitz is just Chloe and drag.
Oh, man. That would be a hell of a twist.
And a mole. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
Shalowy.
All right. So CTU is tracking tracking Rebecca. That's how the cops found her, right?
I don't think
No.
I think that the cops pulled them over because they were looking for the license plate of that truck, maybe.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of what I'm assuming.
So did the Tony, Andy, Rebecca tracker have any role at all?
Not yet. I think that's coming up later.
That's next episode. Okay.
That's for later.
So what happens when Rebecca gets to this random soccer stadium where Jadala wants to meet her?
So Jadala is like, hey, walk out on this field. And she's like, I'm not walking out on that field until you let Jimmy Smits go. And he's like, absolutely not. You got to walk out on the field first.
Well, first he shows her a terrorist Snapchat
yeah.
of Jimmy Smits tied up. He's like, see, he's fine.
Like, he's good to go. And she's like, I don't believe you, whatever. And then like she's negotiating pretty hard because she knows that she has the upper hand here. And like she's really the one that they want.
But Jadala's ready to walk away.
And Jadala's not really doesn't really make a good case to her either. He's just like yeah, like you're right that we do want you more. But we have a senator slash like presidential candidate, so we can still do some stuff here. Like this isn't like he doesn't really lay out like a very good case for that back to her either.
I feel like having the senator is like a bigger get than getting head of CTU.
It seems like he's definitely more high profile for the public at least.
I think maybe Jadala was thinking that because he seemed ready to let Rebecca walk away, but then Sheikh Ben Khalid is all like, I want her. Release
yeah.
the senator.
Yep. And then they're like, all right. So they call some dude up. They dump Jimmy Smits out of the back of a van or something. Basically, he's just tumbling on the
so
street.
Jadala tells Rebecca, look at your phone. This video of Jimmy Smits getting kicked out the back of a moving van.
My God.
And there's cars swerving to avoid him.
Right.
And he's rolling down the street.
He keeps just like seamlessly sending her 10-second video clips.
Oh, yeah.
Snapchat.
Hezbollah chat.
Or is it Facebook chat?
Who knows?
Or Facebook Messenger chat.
Owl cap chat.
Even the terrorists don't use Facebook Messenger or Snapchat.
No.
So now
Smitsy's gone.
I want to talk a little bit about Smitsy this episode.
Sure.
So we've talked a lot about how he's definitely the best actor on this show. How wasted was he in this episode? Like, he's just tied up and gagged the whole episode. We got Jimmy Smits. Somehow we have a good actor on this terrible show. Let's have him just rolling around in a van.
Let's put
a
big piece of duct tape on his mouth so he really can't see anything.
I feel like he did a good job from, like, facial expressions wise. Like, there was definitely a lot of shots of
him. I guess.
He was doing what he could, but, like, I wouldn't put this on the level of, like, Tom Hardy in Dark Knight Rises with just, like, a magnetic performance despite not seeing his face. Like, I feel like they just didn't give Smits a lot of opportunities to really shine.
Yeah, no.
I thought that we were going
to. Sucked like everything else.
I thought that we were going to. Max. I mean, like, I thought that we were potentially looking at some, like, Jimmy Smits, like, you know, being tortured, like, spitting at the terrorists, like, giving him a bunch of shit kind of Jimmy Smits, and didn't really get a lot of that.
Instead, they just kicked him out the back of a van.
Instead, they put a piece of duct tape on his mouth and then threw him out of a van, yeah.
I'm really happy that they didn't duct tape his feet, because holy hell, he was able to run away. These are rookie terrorists. Come on.
Yeah.
That was a terrible scene.
He did run away for 5 seconds, but then was easily taken over and taken back to the van.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not running at all.
I was going to say, like, didn't those guys just, like, make a quick U-turn and just, like, pick him back up, like, after the live stream was done?
They definitely could have. We didn't see that.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I think we actually saw a shot of Smits just sitting by the side of the road. Like,
oh, yeah, he was sitting on the curb texting or something. Like, just...
Why would he still have his phone?
I don't know.
Why would you keep...
That's the image I have in my head, though.
So, yeah, no, they definitely showed that.
Yeah.
So Smits is freed.
Smits is freed.
So Eric tells Rebecca, hey, he's free. You should just leave now. And we'll get them some other day. And Rebecca's like, I told him I'd walk in the field. Let's get him.
She's like, I want it all.
Well, if we brought all CTU with you, you know, that would have been a much better idea.
And here's the thing. Like, she spent... Like, it's what seems like a big chunk of her career, like, is a main focus going after these people. Now she has the opportunity to personally end it. Like, she's going to go for it, right?
That is true. She's definitely an ambitious person.
For sure. So she walks out on this field, and Eric Carter is perched up in the bleachers of the stadium. Somehow they don't see him in the bleachers of the stadium.
You know, they confirmed she was alone.
They confirmed she was alone.
Even though he's right there.
They swept the venue. So she walks out. And notices that the field is soaked in gasoline, basically.
She took her sweet time figuring that out.
She did. You think that the smell of gasoline would be overwhelming if the field was soaked in gasoline.
Especially because if it's soaked in gasoline, like, gasoline evaporates. It's not there forever.
Think about how long it would take to soak a field in gasoline.
Yeah.
Carter, oh, pretty big hose.
It's a really lot of gasoline.
Yep.
You said hose, but I thought you meant hose, and I thought that was pretty
It requires some pretty big hose.
I said hose, so, you
know. I know you did.
Hose as in the things you farm with?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
That's it. So...
Rated PG-13.
Now this is happening, and... I don't know what else happened. Well, yeah.
Rebecca's just standing there. Jadal steps out. Lights a flare.
Yeah.
And it's like,
right, yeah.
You got to read this confession. And Rebecca's like,
fuck
nah.
Your confession.
And so Eric just gets in position and then shoots Jadal in the head.
Well, first, Eric has a horrible position and his view is blocked by the van that these guys
Eric
are in.
Is terrible at everything. Yeah. He has the worst possible position to start.
Yep.
But then he moves into better position, shoots Jadal, which of course Jadal just falls and dies and lights the whole field on fire.
Yep.
Rebecca runs for life. Eric and Nasir kind of shoot at each other. Nothing really happens.
Yeah.
But then Sheikh Ben Khalid is screaming about how Jadal is dead. And the episode ends with Rebecca screaming into her phone, he's still alive.
Yep.
Oh my God, he's still alive. Which is why, you know, she didn't know that he was alive before.
Right. There you go. Yeah, that's true.
But we don't see Rebecca. So maybe she's also Two-Face now. Two-Face 2. Four-Face?
Who knows?
Do we assume that she gets picked up by the terrorists? That's what it seemed.
100%. It seems like she's picked up by the terrorists, and then
how do they pick her up? I guess why ask a question?
I don't know. Like
with a firecopter.
There's just a bunch of There's just a bunch of general confusion when the whole field lights on fire and it's just Eric there. I don't know. Maybe they sneak in and get her. It seems weird, though.
Side note, that's also goddamn amazing because I cannot get onto my high school football field like at any time outside of school hours. How the hell did they get on there?
That field looked like it was pretty old and run down, too. It looked like that was not like a currently maintained.
So do you think that they like rented a fire truck and got some, like, filled it with gasoline so they could, you know, fill this field with gasoline?
Are you talking about the terrorists or the people that shot the scene?
Terrorists.
Okay.
People that shot the scene, I mean, that doesn't really require a lot of gasoline.
And you're a terrorist, you can do better than just gas a field.
Well, exactly. Like, I don't understand. Because that's a lot of gasoline for what they did.
I mean, I guess.
Like, it's a big field. It's not like a small field.
They don't have to light up the whole field, though. Right?
She was running pretty fast, pretty far.
That was, okay. shot of the season was like Rebecca running away from an insanely fast firewall when the field is lighting on fire. Like that's probably my favorite shot from the season. It was pretty good.
The best shot of the season is definitely Isaac strutting with his shotgun.
Okay. That's also an amazing shot.
Isaac,
but like I guess because of the rest of the action and effects in the show, I was surprised at how good that looked.
True. Probably the best special effect.
Did they spend a couple extra dollars on that one?
I think they had to spend a couple bucks on that one. I think that.
Do you think they had some gallons of gasoline? You know, spend like the $10.
I don't know.
And actually, like almost light her on fire.
I think that it was a combination. I think that they actually lit some of the field on fire. And then it's probably some CGI.
In The Dark Knight, Joker says gasoline is cheap. So maybe it's true. Maybe 24 producers are like, good idea.
But in the future,
gasoline is pretty cheap when you're rolling on like the bankroll of these terrorists, because they've also funded like insane operations for all these other sleeper cells that we never saw. We saw how like elaborate the operation was for that one.
It was not that elaborate.
Well, dude, they had all those fucking barrels and like all that shit in the basement, right? Yeah, that was pretty. I wouldn't
call Insanity High School an elaborate operation.
But how much? That would have cost a lot of money, though.
Yeah, it costs a good amount of money, right?
Professor Science explained
how they
didn't have the right thing, but he mixed two other things. It's okay, because he used the science.
I guess, yeah. It seems like they have some money, though. I don't know.
All right.
They could buy some gas.
Do we got to get to Kill of the Week now?
Sure. I'm so over this episode. Like,
is there any other candidate besides Eric killing Jadala?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, there was a pretty good hit by Uncle Organa.
Oh yeah,
it wasn't a kill.
We didn't talk about Papa Organa getting a bloody head, but
it seemed
like he was still alive. So I guess he's okay.
It's not really sad that we even have to debate that. Like, the main character of the show killed like
the
main
bad.
Villain of the show, and like it might not be Kill of the Week.
Well, there's no other Kill of the Weeks, so
it doesn't deserve it. It was literally the least dramatic.
Well, just like when they killed the security guard.
It was also a bad kill because it's like potentially resulting in Rebecca's death by him dropping that flare. Like, it's kind of a bad kill.
If this was a real life, she would have been dead. Like, there's no way she's out running the Hall of Fire.
I think you can have a decent save with a bad kill. A decent save with a bad loss or something. I don't know.
Gasoline moves way faster than you can run.
You'd think so.
Well, what about on wet grass? I've never tested gasoline on wet grass.
Gasoline, as long as it's not evaporated.
Is the grass wet because of the gasoline or because of water?
That is the question.
No, it's due to water, because otherwise it would be grassoline.
Checks out.
Okay, so that's Kill of the Week. What about Mole Watch? Do we get some mole points this week?
Yeah, Max got some mole points. Kind of. Well, I thought we were going to maybe. I'm not sure if those mole points count or not.
We didn't talk about my best conspiracy that came through. I said Sheikh bin Khalid definitely still alive.
You definitely said that.
We definitely did.
Talked about the last week. Congrats, Max.
Thanks, guys.
There you go.
I want to dedicate this one to Sheikh bin Khalid.
AKA Two-Face?
AKA...
Do you have a better name for him than Two-Face?
Give me a minute. Keep going.
So
what about 2 minutes for Two-Face?
What about Tusama Bin Laden?
Nope.
Definitely not.
So do you think like the writers of the show saw what happened with The Force Awakens and was like, okay, guys.
Like, don't say anything else.
Okay,
I just want to imagine that thought for a second.
Do you think
the writers of the show saw The Force Awakens?
Okay.
I guarantee you they saw that movie.
Do you think they saw it? Okay.
All right, continue.
Do you want to take a guess of where I'm going with this
one? I have no fucking idea.
Okay. I know.
Well, we were talking earlier about how this whole season has basically been like the first season of 24, and like Force Awakens was basically like the first Star Wars movie.
Oh, true.
So they're like okay, well, like how do we like relaunch this thing that's been like gone for a while? It's like, okay, let's just like make a new version of the first one.
So Tony is Harrison Ford in this?
I guess. Who is Chewbacca? Yeah, pretty much.
You should too.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. So I don't know. Seems like they might have seen the strategy and like it worked out pretty well.
I wish they did, because this is not nearly as good as season 1.
I don't think they have that strategy. I think they're like flying by the seat of their pants. They don't know what they're doing.
Do you think
they're trying to keep it going as best they can?
Do you think they realize that their plot is so similar to the first season of 24?
Yes.
I think so. This is what I think. We talked about, there was one episode, the episode where like Insanity High School ends, and we talked about how they're wiping all the plot lines off the board. And I think they're just like, we gotta sort of embrace the 24 legacy and go back and pull some plot lines from the first season. Because since then, there have been a lot more things that are like similar to the first season.
So when you're saying it's similar to season one, give me a rundown of what's similar to season one. I have a vague memory of season one.
So
Bear Trap.
The Bear Trap wasn't season one.
That was season two, Max.
Like, so the biggest thing is there's a terrorist who's the son of someone the main character killed in his pre-CTU days, who turns out the person he thought he killed is still alive.
So like literally this exact same situation.
There's also a charismatic non-white senator who is running for president.
Whoa.
And who is a target of the assassins, of the terrorists' plots.
Jimmy Smith isn't
really
a target.
There is a family member who seems to be pushing the boundaries, because the senator himself is a very upstanding, righteous person, but they're like, I'll do the dirty work that you are too good to do, because that's what has to happen to get you in office.
I'm going to say that they 100% planned this, most importantly because they wanted to set up a new Jack Bauer. That's it. That's so, the only reason. Like, they just wanted to start a new season and like continue it.
But here's the thing. Like, Jack Bauer didn't become Jack Bauer because of the stuff that happened in season one. Jack Bauer became Jack Bauer because of all the shit that happened before the show started. Right. And like, so like, is Eric Carter going to become pseudo Jack Bauer because of the stuff that happened in this season? Or like,
I think so. Okay. I think that the final couple episodes are going to change him into some very rogue agent, and it's going to be a problem for CTU.
Given like these angry faces, and like being all pouty about stuff all the time, like he's constipated.
The guy who plays Eric, he just, and we talked about this like way at the start of the season, like he's being asked to do Kiefer style things that are just hard to do. Like,
mm-hmm.
Kiefer is a very specific skill set as an actor, and it's not easily reproducible. And
right.
Eric just can't do it. And it's not like his fault. Like, that's why Kiefer was like perfect for that role, because like it's a very specific thing you got to do it right.
Well, it was also molded around him as seasons went on.
That's also true.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like season one starts with Jack already being the director of CTU, so he's already got a pretty strong track record of competence that Eric just doesn't have.
Which explains why people give him the license to do the crazy stuff that he does. They're just like, yeah, it's crazy, but it's Jack Bauer.
And he gets Jack Bauer in season one gets so many more roadblocks from like other people in CTU being like, what the hell are you doing? You got to stop that.
Right.
Then Eric has gotten as someone who has no affiliation with CTU.
We're living in a post-Jack Bauer era.
Well, you know? That would be fine if he wasn't like included in all the CTU stuff. Like if he was outside CTU doing his own thing.
Yeah, I know.
And like calling in CTU for help. Okay. For like, oh, this shit's going down. Help me out. Blah, blah, blah. Whereas like he's like at CTU headquarters in server like hardware and like all this bullshit.
Oh, yeah. He does not belong there.
We got distracted from Mole.
Right, there's nothing to talk about.
Yep.
Well, are we still doing mole guesses, or are we like the moles are done this season?
Well, I guess no guess could be a guess.
You don't get any points for all right, no mole.
Then so, Chris, who's your mole?
all right, so if we're going to go based on season one... Maybe Rebecca?
Keith Ooh. Mullins.
I'm going to go and throw a Tony Almeida as the mole.
What?
How is he the mole? You have to clarify. Like, who is he turning on? Because he's kind of a wild card.
Yeah.
He is kind of a wild card, but I think he's going to turn on the entirety of America.
Oh man!
He already did.
Oh, but now
he's back, and now he's gonna flip flop. He's just gonna keep bouncing that line.
Then, if Tony in the last two episodes decides to coordinate with the terrorists, it's gonna be nuts. Like, it's gonna be a nuts ending.
He's flip flopping.
Yeah, like he's just gonna go back and forth based on whoever pays him the most.
He's the swift boat of terrorists.
I can't believe Brian, you
good
turned...
Good 2004 election reference, Max.
Thank you, Max. Brian, I thought you were going with Nicole's the mole to follow the season one plotline.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, I don't know why they really brought Tony back. I mean, they could have brought him back just because, like, okay, they want to solidify...
Ratings.
Yeah, ratings. Exactly.
They brought him back for the Super Bowl commercial. That's why they brought him back.
Literally.
But, like, it would also... serve ratings to just like bring him back at the end of the season. It's like, oh shit, he's the mole, and then season two starts. Or
maybe.
Maybe.
I have literally no idea how they're going to try to continue it after this season, because it's already a terrible season. So if they want to get a second season, they got to do something outlandish.
That's definitely true. All
right, Harrison, what's your mole?
I don't know, man.
Just say a character.
I'm gonna go with I guess I can't go with the director of national intelligence because it's kind of already suspicious, right?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm probably not allowed to get points for that one. Okay.
They introduce a character and make him a mole in one episode.
he was in a previous.
He's
episode.
Been around okay. a little bit. I don't think I have anybody because I don't think there's room for. More than one new mole in the last two episodes, so
that's fine.
I'll go with Cousin Edgar.
Oh man,
we haven't seen Cousin Edgar in
maybe I'll fall
while.
Back to my Theo pick. I'll get Theo back in the mix.
You can go for
okay,
Theo.
I'll go for Theo again.
Theo, you're tripling down on Theo, and Brian is tripling down on Tony.
I got no one else.
Got a triple double.
I'm not really tripling down. I'm just like throwing him out there. That's
no,
a
that's
crazy
three
suggestion.
Weeks.
Actually,
three weeks in a row.
Oh, all right.
That's why I said. Triple down.
Oh, man. Okay.
So your uncle...
I'm going with Cousin Edgar.
Cousin. I don't know why I said...
It's confusing because it's not... it is Edgar's cousin. God damn.
It's Edgar's cousin.
I got
cousin,
super confused with the uncle
cousin
thing.
Edgar?
And,
Max, what do you got?
Stop me if I've made this joke before. My mole is 6.02E23.
It's negative 23.
I hate you so much.
Exactly.
I thought Max already said his mole earlier.
Oh, Keith Mullins.
Keith Mullins.
That's his name.
Keith Mullins.
Keith Mullins.
All right, we have to decide on the debate. Does Max get 2 points for Uncle
100%?
Oh, man.
Or not?
I say
it.
No.
I feel like you get points when he actually...
Oh,
gives up.
So you're on team. I get 3 points.
Sure.
Next week.
Okay.
You get if you actually like become some sort of agent for the other side.
Hold on. For him, what is the other side? Is the other side the terrorists or is it CTU? Because he's already been working with the terrorists.
Either way.
So if he goes and rats in the terrorists, isn't he a mole for the, like, in the,
yeah,
the other
if
way?
If he rats for the terrorists, 100%.
Rats for or against the terrorists?
He's a repeat mole.
If he says anything about where the terrorists do or did to CTU.
Okay, but what if he tells the terrorists about CTU?
What is he going to tell CTU? What is he going to tell the terrorists about?
Hey, guys, they're asking me questions. Maybe you should go hide.
Do you get double points if they double cross?
I don't know what that means.
Double cross bonus.
If he gives like fake info and then tells the terrorists about the fake info?
No, that would be a triple cross.
Look, if he comes back and is actually talking about something to somebody.
If they tell CTU about how to reach these fuckers, that's a double cross. So one would theoretically get double points.
No, because you called him a mole. Well, we already knew he was working with a terrorist. So now in order for him to be a mole, he has to be doomed.
Right, no, but you don't expect the double cross. That makes it riskier to vote for him.
That's true.
All right. We
no, are no
abstaining
double
from this vote till next week.
Okay. It doesn't matter yet. You're right.
Any plugs, Harrison?
Oh, man. You can follow me on Twitter at Harrison Hoffman.
Rob, you want to give our customary plug?
I'll let Brian do the customary plug.
Max?
I got a fuck you plug and two good for you
plugs.
Whoa.
This is a PG-13 podcast.
Since when?
We do have an explicit rating on iTunes.
Let me give my fuck you plug. Fuck you, surround sound systems. There's so many fucking variables. There's the right plug you got to use. There's the right encoding you gotta use. All this shit.
You gotta.
Oh, yeah.
It's so bad. All right. I want to give two shout-outs. One to Monster Factory, which is a YouTube show hosted by Polygon, where Griffin and Justin McElroy try and make the ugliest possible characters they can in a given video game. And yesterday they hosted a WrestleMania that lasted over 90 minutes that was just hosted by them talking about, you know, Chiquita Dave, whose face looks like a Chiquita banana, fighting Bort Simpson.
There you go.
So shout out to them.
Good to know.
Shout out to S-Town.
Oh, yeah, S-Town.
S-Towns are good. Finished it.
Pretty good. Got to the heartbreaker part.
Oh man.
No spoilers.
It is a roller coaster ride. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Found out the truth.
Okay.
After all those plugs, you can follow us at either Facebook or Twitter, the DPPL.
Boom.
Yeah. I have no personal plug, so
alternatively, Fed people.
All right.
Thank you, Not Jack, for making Max into what he is.
So
I think we have to give an anti-plug to Not Jack. We might have murdered Max.
Is this the mole? The real mole? The real mole was Not Jack all along.
It was in my freezer the whole time.
Then who was it?
The customary plug, Brian, was. Who put this on our other podcasts?
Oh yeah,
we can listen to most of us at Who Put This On, and you can find us on your podcast app set. Just look for Who Put This On.
Might be a new episode coming out soon. Here,
I heard a rumor.
It was only been we teased it 3 weeks ago,
2 weeks ago.
I've heard those plugs up a bunch of times. It's gonna come back, 100%.
Make sure you hit that subscribe button to get that new episode when it comes out.
I would like to challenge. That rumor. It's not coming out soon. It's coming out ASAP.
There you go.
All right.
Maybe even by the time you're listening to this.
Maybe.
Might be a show going on right now.
Oh.
Current season.
Oh.
Current episode?
All right. You can follow me on Twitter at TheChrisLorenz. And you can email us questions at thedbpl@gmail.com. We'll see you guys next time. Adios.
Later.
Adias.